The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, James Anderson, and I've got my buddy Dylan White from Baseball America here with me today. Had a lot of lots of questions the last couple of weeks about, you know, which prospects are really moving up your rankings and that type of thing. I am going to start working on the top 400 update basically after I'm done recording this episode. But I think this will be a great episode for anyone who's out there and who's looking to add prospects, because we're going to talk about Dylan's Robo Scout tool on Baseball America, and it's a great tool, and really excited about this one. We're going to go level by level and look at all the breakouts and all the guys that are really going to be moving up the rankings in a couple of weeks. But Dylan, before we get into the specific players, can you give people kind of a refresher about what Roto Scout is, or maybe just a full breakdown for the uninitiated?
Yeah, so like you said, it's a tool I developed a couple of years ago. Basically, it came out of me playing in dynasty leagues, and I was tired of like waiting for you to have an update, or Baseball America to have their update, or like Eric Cross to do his update when he was back on Fantrax or whatever. I just found that when those updates happened, I was way too late on guys, and so I wanted to kind of beat the crowd. So did some research, and it kind of came out of Jordan Rosenblum, a good friend of mine, partner in an NFBC league, his scouting the stat line approach, which is fairly famous. He's doing work with Enos Aris for Stuff Plus and his projections from that. It basically, you know, converts minor league performance from each level, kind of translates it into a major league equivalency. And so basically you take, you know, walk rate or strikeout rate or WRC plus, OPS, things like that, home run rate, and then you kind of convert how that performance in the minor leagues would translate into the major league performance. You add park factors in it. You regress to a league average because, you know, small sample sizes. And then you kind of apply age curves too, like a 21-year-old who has like a 91 mile an hour fastball may have a 93 mile an hour fastball, 94 mile an hour fastball as he develops and as he ages. You know how hitters kind of have their prime kind of famously like 25 to 27 years old. So basically their major league performance, how will that be at peak? So all these calculations come up, and then I do like a blend of what peak compared to like current, and do like proximity calculations and tweaks, and basically all that to say, I kind of try to find breakouts based on in-season performance in the minor league level to help find prospects. So that's the tool. So it's on Baseball America now. I write a weekly article about it, guys who've caught my attention, things like that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic tool, and I think it looks even better after the website redesign and everything. And I should have mentioned at the very top, we're brought to you today by Prize Picks, and you can use the promo code ROTOPOD for a 100% deposit match over at Prize Picks. Dylan, how have you adjusted the inputs kind of over the past like few years with Robo Scout to kind of like maybe you notice something and you're just like, I need to change this to get better results here?
Great question. I think the biggest thing that is different from when I first started is I now have like minor league Statcast data that I fold in. So that kind of like nudges the performance up or down based on like whether it's supported by the underlying data. You know, sometimes you see a high walk rate and then you wonder like, oh, is he just being passive? Like stuff like that. Oh, he has a strikeout rate of X. Is that because is the contact rate supporting it? And then of course, home run rates and stuff like that. So I think the biggest thing is folding in the Statcast. Other things I've done, kind of minor formula tweaks, is lower level players, I kind of weight the peak performance better. So it's kind of finding like who are like the elite guys who are popping up. I think it makes more sense just because there's so much that can happen over the, you know, a 17-year-old's development in the minors that you kind of just want to find the elite guys, not just the guys who are going to make it to the majors. And then by the same token, like the upper levels, I was finding that guys are getting promoted that weren't really doing well in RoboScout at like AAA level. And it's because I was weighing, like I wanted younger guys who are actually good prospects, but it didn't really make that much sense because like the Jackson Holidays or the Camineros, like we already know they're good. So I don't need them to be weighed higher in AAA. I kind of want to find guys maybe who can produce like in season, like guys like Dane Myers or whatever, someone who's coming up and may actually perform in the major. So I kind of changed the weighting there in the upper levels accordingly. So yeah, I think those are the kind of the main things I changed.
That's great. Yeah. Love a Dane Myers shout out. So what we're going to do here is I've got basically eight or, you know, give or take 8 or 10 questions or so for Dylan. And we're going to go level by level and we're going to start with the hitters at AAA. And you got the, you know, the top 10 RoboScout hitters at AAA. You're going to see a lot of obvious names. You mentioned Jackson Holliday and Junior Caminero and, you know, Kobe Mayo, Kyle Manzardo, obviously, before he was promoted. James Wood, Keston Hierstad, but it's all pretty much chalk. And then we get to Caleb Durbin of the Yankees. And I kind of figured it'd be fun to start off talking about Caleb Durbin because that's the first player you mentioned to me when we were kind of discussing this a couple weeks ago. But I think at least I've sort of noticed, maybe it's just Xavier Edwards, but like I've noticed RoboScout can potentially overrate some of the minimal power, smaller, you know, approach driven second baseman of that ilk. Is that a fair characterization of, you know, maybe an issue or a blind spot? And then how do you see Durbin's career going from here? Is there room for him to be more than just a bench infielder?
Yeah, I would say it properly rates, doesn't overrate them. It appropriately rates them. I'm just joking. that's a great question. That is a great question. Incidentally, Durbin has dropped. He's actually 12th now after the latest kind of update. We got another Statcast dump. He's kind of slowed down since, you know, the first couple of weeks I was going on about it. But I mean, the question still stands for like Chase Meidroth, who's eighth. Yeah, I've always kind of struggled with those guys. I mentioned a couple, I think last year about like Von Grissom, how like I don't know how to value Von Grissom or Daryl Hernandez or Lisa Reyes or Jeff McNeil, all these guys who have great hit tools, but are like 12 home runs and like 9 stolen bases. Oslavis Basabe is another guy who was doing well in RoboScout. And I think this year, I'm just naming names. It's like Nacho Alvarez, like Fedrick Benkozme, is that how you pronounce his name? Or even Jacob Wilson, like these guys who have good hit tools who will probably make it to the majors, but it'll maybe be utility guys who are like bench roles and maybe become a regular, like Jeff McNeil or Luis Arias or Stephen Kwan. I think it struggles with that. Like I said, here at AAA, I kind of have it weighted now. So it's like guys who will likely produce in the majors same year. So like Xavier Edwards last year, like you mentioned, I got Jose Fermin. I think he's like number 4 right now. And he made it to the Cardinals. He's playing. But just, I guess the question is how much impact will he have? So all that to say, going back to Durbin, what I like about Durbin is he's stealing bases. He has 14 stolen bases in 147 plate appearances. He seems to be able to play kind of all over the field. So he's kind of like a utility guy. I could see him getting like a bench role for the Yankees, like what, like bench role meaning like plug and play, kind of like IKF or DJ LeMahieu. Because of the stolen bases, like 25 stolen bases kind of thing, like John Birdie type production, I think he could be useful. So, yeah, I mean, he's not a top 200 prospect, even though he's, you know, in the top 10 of AAA. Because all that to say, like, RoboScout's a tool to help find these guys, but you kind of also have to, you know, use your own kind of cognitive insights to figure out whether or not it's worth picking him up or not. So I like these guys in AAA that will probably produce in the majors and be useful for your fantasy team. So like Jack Suwinski, Kerry Carpenter, all these guys who are not real prospects per se, but have a chance to produce in the majors and do well. But of course you also get the Justin Durdens and Tyler Gentrys as misses. But yeah, I don't know if I answered the question. I was kind of all over the place.
No, yeah, I think that that's it's a big challenge in terms of trying to rank those guys and trying to sort of uncover which guys are going to make like a jump in power. Because I think, you know, that's a lot of what, like I remember like Luis Urias when he was like a Padres prospect 6 years ago or whatever it was. Like I remember just loving his hit tool and thinking, well, yeah, I think he'll get to 25 homer power, 20 homer power, like by his mid 20s. But it's just, it's tough to sort of, like in that case, you know, I think he just completely compromised his hit tool to try to get to the power, and then it just kind of never sort of settled. And it's just really hard to find those types of guys and correctly peg which ones are going to make that power jump, because it's just hard to expect a big league team to give, you know, like an 8-homer player, full-time playing time, right? So
like Luis Urias used to pop on RoboScout too. I think like apocryphally or anecdotally, I think it was back then, it was right as like the swing path change and like launch angle revolution was happening. So I think it was true that players with good hit tools would develop power. It seemed like it developed power because they suddenly changed their approach and hit home runs. But now it, again, like there's no data behind it. It's kind of my sense. It's like we develop them better in minor leagues, so they're at the power already early, like they know how to kind of manifest their power. So it's actually like I probably should be tweaking RoboScout even more, that it's not hit tool and they'll get the power, they're already getting the power, so like that is, they are what they are kind of thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that definitely aligns with sort of the way I've sort of trended in my rankings, is like I kind of want to see some signs of power right in the minors, you know, at least like a glimmer of something, right? And yeah, I think Durbin's interesting. It's tough. The Yankees don't necessarily seem like a team that would just be like, all right, we're going to just start playing this guy a lot at second base. But maybe they trade him to a team that would do that, or maybe they're forced into it via injuries or something. So very interesting. Let's move to AAA pitchers. And again, like, the two most obvious names at the top, Paul Skeens, Christian Scott. And then, you know, a bunch of, you know, Kate Povich shows up. But, you know, I think a lot of it aligns with conventional wisdom. You've got kind of, you know, you got Taj Bradley's, Brian Woo's rehabbing, that type of thing. But then you got Jack Leiter showing up, at least when I pulled these, he was top three among AAA pitchers per RoboScout. Brett Carey of the Angels kind of stands out as a name you wouldn't necessarily expect to see there, but he's got a, you know, he's quite a far way down in terms of the Robo score. So what do you, you know, Leiter, I don't trust him just because this run at AAA has definitely been the best run of his pro career, but, and his fastball is a monster pitch when he's locating it. But I don't trust him yet. I think you could still acquire Leiter for a reasonable price in dynasty leagues. I believe he's starting tonight against Oakland. So if there is something here, I would hope that he looks pretty solid in that matchup. But would you be trying to maybe buy Leiter as he's sort of maybe ascending, or At least at the most interesting he's been at in dynasty leagues in a couple of years, or would you be, are you still kind of skeptical like me?
I think it's really the market is going to define it. Cause I don't think, I think someone who has Jack Leiter either had them from the beginning and bought into the, like, the early round pick and he's going to be a stud, and then it's held through kind of that valley. And so now they're thinking like he's meeting the potential they had. So I don't think you're going to get him cheap from that person. Or if someone bought low, like this is why they bought low. And so I don't think you'd get them that way as well. So the question of whether I think he's going to become an ace, I thought, like, coming into this exercise, when you gave me the outline yesterday, I'm like, I'm going to show James that he's worth it. And then as I dug into it, I was like, actually, I don't know anymore. So his fastball actually kind of looks like it took a step back from last year. Like, it was 18 IVB with like a minus 4.1 VAA, which is very flat, which is kind of what you want. Now it's like 16.6 is the data I have, IVB with a minus 4.5 VAA. But his extension has increased. So he's made like a looks a mechanical tweak maybe somewhere, but it's not like he's like kind of like got that fastball manifested now. And then like his walk rate has dropped his BB per nine from 5.4 to 2.8, which looks like nearly half of what it was. And so that looks great. But if you look at his ball percentage, which is highly correlated, better correlated to future walks per nine than actual walks per nine is, it was 39% ball percentage last year. And it's 38% ball percentage. So it's kind of like not a quote unquote real BB nine change. And if you look at his walk percentage, it's only down from like 10% to 8%. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like the walk changes, it looks like, aren't necessarily real, or they're ephemeral. They're maybe not as concrete as we think. And the thing I like to do, and I'm going to do this throughout this podcast actually, is I look at how that performance in strikeout percentage and walk percentage at that age, at that level, how has that done historically? So he at the time is 37% strikeout rate, 8% walk rate, age 24, AAA. So players who had that kind of performance at that age, Andrew Abbott, who is 35.9, Cody Morris, 36.8, Bailey Falter, 37.7, Eliezer Hernandez, 34.7, and then Framber Valdez. So it's like a who's who of RoboScout guys, to be honest, that were once highly touted in RoboScout. But also names that haven't really, with the exception, of course, Framber, haven't really done too much to be aces. So that kind of threw some water on it. An interesting thing is if you open it up, that's age 24 AAA players, pitchers. If you open it up to over 24, Christian Scott enters that conversation with 38% strikeout rate and 6% walk rate, which I didn't like to see because I love Christian Scott and I have Christian Scott everywhere. So yeah, I'm not totally bought in. I don't know if he's turned the corner. And even if this is the level he's at, although it's good, I don't know how, you know, like if it's an ace or top of the rotation. So I'm kind of tentative. I looked at the projections too. So Steamer and the Bat both have him at like a 1.3 whip, 4.4 ERA, which is not great. And even at peak, it's still going to be like a 4 ERA. Whereas Christian Scott is like an under 4 ERA and a whip under 1.2, significantly better. So it's not even that great. So I guess, long story short, again, my long-winded no, I'm not buying, and I'm a bit tentative on Jack Leiter. And I just want to say, actually, the Brett Carey thing, we got another Statcast dump. He had a 21-inch IVB on the data we had when he was in AA, and now it's kind of 18 inches overall. So he kind of plummeted in the ranks. He's like down to like 30th now.
So all right. So that, everyone can... Just dump your Brett Carey shares.
Exactly. I actually have Brett Carey.
That's a really good point though, about just the whole, you know, would you be buying Leiter? Would you be selling him? Because you're right. Like, just because I would be selling him right now, like I don't have him for a reason because I've been lower on him the whole time. So if you have him, then that means that at some point you were among the highest people on him probably, or you just took him in your first year player draft where he was going and you held him the whole time, like you said. So right. That's a good point. Like, I think if you have Jack Leiter, you're probably quite a bit higher on him than I am, or maybe even Dylan is. So Okay. Let's head to a message from our sponsors, and when we come back, we will look at the top AA hitters by RoboScout. Just want to mention, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel. That'd be great, especially if you subscribe to the channel. That really helps us out. It's just full-time baseball over there now. And I love our partnership with So Rare. They're getting our player notes. And then if you want to chat with me, you know, the top 400 prospect rankings update coming in a couple weeks, you can find me on the RotoWire Discord channel, rotowire.com/chat, if you want to hang out there. Can certain weather conditions lead to more home runs? The atmosphere can affect how far baseball flies by 20%. Home Run Forecast measures the weather conditions at a ballpark to tell us if the atmosphere is good or bad for ball flight during a game. An index value that rates the air is created for each game and ballpark and is displayed on a scale from 1 to 10. Home Run Forecast's premium site offers index values by the hour for each game, 24-hour forecasts, wind direction and speed, and even whether the roof will be open at certain stadiums. Home Run Forecast is offering a special for the start of the baseball season. You can get access to the premium site for the entire season for only $28, a savings of nearly 30%. Go to homerunforecast.com/rotowire now to sign up. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. On Thursday night, I like Kyrie Irving to go over 32.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. Just kind of seems like Luka Doncic is going to really need Irving to help him out in game two there. And I like the over on 28.5 points for Nikola Jokic on Friday night. Seems like he's basically going to have to average 40 a game to keep the Nuggets in the series there. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Dylan. So double A hitters. We actually got three catchers in the top four here. But the big one up top with a 100 score of Robo and a 100 score of Robo cast, Emmanuel Rodriguez. You mentioned, obviously, the Twins outfielder. You mentioned kind of in your write-up, I think you were talking about who you're talking about, Matthew Lugo. I think you were talking about the Emmanuel Rodriguez effect, which is basically in reference to his ultra selectivity that creates a discrepancy between his 28.3% strikeout rate and his contact, in zone contact, and swing strike rates, which are all actually better than league average. Can you think of some recent historical comps for a player who's kind of at the same selectivity level as Rodriguez and the same production level, and sort of how that typically manifests when that caliber of hitter gets the highest level? Like, I just, from my looking at it, I would say Rodriguez is maybe a sell in batting average leagues and a buy in OBP leagues, or at least a hold in OBP leagues. But what do you think? Like, what do the historical comps tell us about what we might see from Emmanuel Rodriguez when he gets to the big leagues?
So my initial gut feel when I was just like thinking off the top of my head for like, who do I remember kind of having this phenomenon? It's like Will Benson was always kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Nolan Jones,
yep.
Where he was super passive and so like had huge walk rates. And then, but he also had high strikeout rates. So like Will Benson and Nolan Jones aren't doing too bad in majors. Arguably Nolan Jones this year, I don't know, sophomore slump or whatever. And I think Josh Lowe, I think I remember him kind of being the same way. So I looked actually at the numbers. So I was looking at two things. One was the swinging strike rate versus the strikeout rate. So I guess the premise is if you're passive, you're seeing a lot of pitches and then you get stuck with a two strike count and then you strike out like more than you normally would if you're swinging normally. So I looked at the swinging strike rate to strikeout rate ratio. So basically, if you have a 9.4% swing strike rate that Emmanuel Rodriguez has, that translates to like a 21% strikeout rate, and he's at 28. Last year was very similar. He had a 10.6% swing strike rate, which translates to about 22% strikeout rate, and he was at 29.5. So like that discrepancy of like 7% above expected strikeout rate, I looked at major leaguers from last year. So guys who are Josh Lowe, who is around 7%, Bradley Zimmer, that was another name too, actually, that he was kind of the same thing, walked a lot, but also struck out a lot. Edward Julien, who's kind of the poster child for passivity right now, and then Taylor Wall. So not really much information there. The other thing I looked at was chase rate and versus swinging strike rate. So you may be like not swinging a lot of pitches, but are outside of the zone, but you may not be swinging a lot of pitches at all. So it's kind of like the swing percentage minus O swing percentage. So this year he's at 29% swing rate, which is extremely low. It's what is that? That's like the fourth lowest out of like 2000 minor leaguers. For context, like Juan Soto is like 36%. He's always like number one, number two, number three, extremely low. So, and the year before, Rodriguez was 33% and, 37%. And the year before that was 33%. So he's always very low, but this year he's extremely low. His chase rate's 10%. Again, in context, Edward Julien is at 15%. He's the lowest in the majors, last year. So again, he's even lower than that. Soto is at 17%, so also extremely low. So he's kind of like doing the Juan Soto, Edward Julien thing, is my point. I looked at some guys who are in that same area of the swing rate versus chase rate. Last year, he was at 37 swing, 14 chase. Will Benson happened to be 37 and 15, so basically identical. Nolan Jones was 34% swing, so hardly swinging, but 21% chase. And then Josh Lowe was not even like, I don't know why I thought of him at the same way. He was 43% swing, which is basically average, and then 25% chase, which is basically average. If you look at guys this year who are doing that, like George Lombard is actually very similar. He's not swinging much at all, 36%, not chasing at all. 12%. It's like 17th lowest chase rate in the league. And Bradfield Jr. is thank you, Enrique Bradfield Jr. Too much Emmanuel on the brain. 34% swing and 14% chase. So if you're selling Emmanuel Rodriguez, and maybe you got to take a closer look at George Lombard and Enrique Bradfield as well. So I kind of babbled a lot there. I don't think I'd sell him at average. I think he's still going to be like 250 batting average. Right now he's stealing bases. Like he looks like a 2020 guy. If you look at Steamer, they have him at like 25-15. Steamer obviously using more like the career body of work where he wasn't stealing as much. So, I mean, I think what my comp would be is like Will Benson or Nolan Jones. It's kind of what you get from Emmanuel Rodriguez. And then as he ages, he'll lose the speed. He'll probably move to a corner, or if not starting at a corner, then he'll kind of be like, I looked at other guys who are very selective like that, like Kyle Schwarber or Jack Sawinski, kind of a range there as he ages. So like I'm still buying. He's still like a top 20, top 15 prospect for me. I'm not worried about like what I said, the swing strike rate versus strikeout rate and then the swing rate versus chase rate. I know he is passive, but it's like there are no red flags. There are no guys that I'm seeing there. And I'm like, well, yeah, oh, that's a cautionary tale of someone where we bought in and then like it didn't work at all. Like I wasn't really seeing names like that. So I'm still on board with Emmanuel Rodriguez.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I went back and looked, and Nolan Jones was actually the exact same age as Rodriguez when he was at Double A, but wasn't as productive. He was still good. He just wasn't quite as dominant. And then Will Benson was a couple years older when he mastered Double A. I mean, I think he's just like such an outlier. It's hard to, you kind of expect it to work somehow. And I guess it's just, you know, in batting average leagues, you know, if he's swinging less than everybody, you know, obviously that's going to lessen the amount of RBI he can get you. It's going to cap the amount of home runs probably. You know, like there's Juan Soto has been avoided by I know like Rob DiPietro was telling me a few years ago, like Juan Soto is a bit overrated just because he swings so much less than everybody else. And, but I don't, you know, that's what Juan Soto was considered one of the two or three best hitters in the game at that point. And Emmanuel Rodriguez is, you know, you saying he's like a top 15-ish prospect. You know, I don't think he's necessarily valued like that across the board. So, yeah, he's just such an outlier. It's just so challenging for me to kind of figure out exactly where to slot him. But I do love just kind of how young he is. Like it would be I'd be a little bit more cautious, I think, if he were doing this and he was 23 like Benson was at Double A or 24. But the fact that he's like a young 21 and doing this at Double A, I think it's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and he's at Double A too. Like he's in the upper levels. Like he's not just doing it where guys can't throw strikes in Low A or whatever. It's kind of working in quotes for him at Double A at 21. So yeah, I'm not taking the foot off the gas of him at all.
And then let's get into the Double A pitchers. Very 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 interesting collection of arms at the top of the RoboScout Double A pitcher leaderboard. A lot of these guys, I think, came into the year with some reliever risk. You know, I think everyone kind of knows about like Blade Tidwell and Tink Hentz as being very good prospects, and they've got good stuff. The guy who stood out to me just in terms of, you know, throwing enough strikes and rating really well on RoboScout, but who came into the year with, you know, basically in obscurity is Mason Adams of the White Sox. Now he gets dinged on the RoboCast relative to the Robo. He's got a higher score on the Robo and lower when you factor in the StatCast stuff. So how good is Mason Adams' stuff? Like is he as good as it looks on paper, or is this just a guy who's getting by on like deception?
It's not that bad. It's actually not that bad. So I did that exercise I talked about above with Leiter. So 24 years old, a bit older for AA, but he has a 2.7% walk rate, extremely small, and then a 32% strikeout rate, which is quite high. So 29.5 K minus BB. So I looked at everyone, every starter. So I used like 2-start minimum to kind of weed out the relievers. Since 2007 with minimum 20 innings, at AA at 24 years old. So there are 2,700 pitchers in that data set. And that K minus BB of 29.5% is 25th, which is pretty good. So he's actually obviously performing. Christian Scott is at 33-3. Brandon Pfaadt was 23 years old at 32% strikeout rate, 4% walk rate. George Kirby, 34%, 5%. Like, this is pretty good company. Like, it's just because the walk rate is so low.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just from the results, like, it looks pretty legit. He throws, so far he's thrown 5.6 innings per game. So, like, he's going deep into games. It's not just, like, 3 innings, and that's kind of masking why he's performing well. So, anyway, under the hood is really your question. He kind of pitches backwards. So, he throws a slider 30% of the time. It's 84-85, which is fine. Has 14 inches of horizontal break, which is pretty good. The curveball, he throws 25% of the time. So 55% of the time, he's throwing breaking stuff. And it's pretty hard downer with like 14-inch IVB, 14-inch horizontal break as well. I looked at major league comps of those specs, and at that velocity, it's kind of like Mitch Keller and Sonny Gray, which are pretty good curveballs. And last year, the XWOB on both of those pitches was 190 and 191. So like no one could hit it last year in high A. And now he's throwing it. It was 40% of the time last year. Now it's 55% of the time. So he's kind of throwing his best pitchers. The fastball is only 91 miles an hour. So he's not popping on the stuff plus there, but he does throw it at a low release slot. The IVB is like 14 inches. It's not great at all, but because it's throwing from the low slot, it's a bit flatter. But like I said, he pitches backwards. He throws primarily the slider and the curve. His ball percentage on the fastballs are pretty good. They're like 30%. So like he is able to command it and control it. So I'm actually kind of interested. I didn't think I would as a 24-year-old in AA. He only throws 91, but like he's got some interesting things. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Sonny Gray, but I think he could pitch in a rotation and, you know, have some pretty good years, pretty reasonable years.
Yeah, that's kind of exciting. I mean, the White Sox don't have many guys who kind of fit that mold of, you know, just a guy that pounds the zone. And it's interesting that he has such a low walk rate while throwing breaking balls 55% of the time. I guess I wonder how much that'll be able to carry over as he faces better hitters. But he really pops statistically. And thought that was interesting because he's kind of surrounded by guys that we know have really loud stuff, but just struggle with walks or whatever. And so it's just, he stood out to me. I have a bonus question for you. The top AA pitcher per RoboScout is Yulber Diaz of the Diamondbacks, a pitcher that I wrote about when I was talking about relief pitching prospect rankings as a guy with just monster stuff who might not have the command to stick as a starter. So what do you think? Yulber Diaz of the Diamondbacks, starter, reliever, long term?
He pitched today, actually, I think, just before I came on the podcast. I think he struck out 9, like through 6 innings or something. Like it was a pretty good performance. I mean, the easy answer is if he can bring the walk rate down, it's currently 11%. Then he can make it. He's going deep into games too. He's going 5 innings per game as well. I think he went 6 today, like I was saying. So they're trying to make him a starter. I did the same thing looking at his strikeout rate, his walk rate at that age. He's 23 in AA, looking at similar guys. And it's kind of like cautionary tales, like Connor Phillips, DL Hall, Ethan Small, Luis Heel.
Definitely a type.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a lot of Ks, but then a lot of walks. Emmett Sheehan was up there at 42% strikeout rate, 11% walk rate as a 23-year-old. Christian Javier is probably the best one of the group, like the one that did the best, except for Dylan Cease, who was 22. So he was a bit younger. He was at 39% strikeout rate, 11% walk rate. So, you know, it is a type, like you said, it's the guys who, you know, he's tantalizing with the strikeout rate. We want him to be a starter. If not, he'll be probably a pretty good reliever. If he gets the walk rate into single digits, he could be something. He could be like Dylan Cease, where he could be really great, and then he can also be very, very frustrating. So he's super interesting right now. Looks like the Diamondbacks are trying to make him a starter. I like what they're doing with their development. So I would tentatively buy, but I would, you know, kind of have my foot out the door at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's he's the type of guy you want to have on your roster. And then if he takes a jump, you can feel really good about it. And if he regresses with the command or struggles when he gets to AAA, you just move on. But, you know, there was a time when Jared Jones was considered a likely reliever, you know, so probably good to see this through if you can, if you're rostering Gilbert Diaz right now. Let's go to the top hitters at high A. Now, the guy at the very top with a score of 100 from RoboScout and a score of 100 from RoboCast, Carter Jensen, catcher with the Royals. Now, Carter Jensen's obviously off to a fantastic start. He's also got 10 steals on 11 attempts, and he stole 11 bases in 116 games last year, 8 bases in 113 games in 2022. So, I mean, he does run relative to your typical catcher, but, you know, currently on like a 40 or 50 steal pace right now. But he's got run grades of 40 from BA, from Pipeline. He has a 45 current run grade from Fangraphs. So the stolen bases don't really match the speed grades we're getting from scouts on Jensen, and he's got a high BABIP and everything. So do you look at his production this year as like very instructive kind of going forward? Is he someone you would go out and add in shallower dynasty leagues, or is this more of like a borderline call for you?
So RoboScout's always like Carter Jensen. Like, he's 20 now, so he was a teenager in the previous 2 years. His StatCast data has actually been pretty good for a long time. Like, his contact rate's above average, his 90th percentile is above average, his barrel rate's above average, his chase rate is better than average, like, consistently. And he's doing that again this year. I guess this year it's the stolen bases that are kind of boosting him up. Like, Steamer's not buying into it, obviously, because, like you said, he only stole like 10 bases total the last 2 years, or 10 bases each the last 2 years, and now he has 10 in 100 innings or 100 plate appearances. So I don't know if he's like Harry Ford or Bo Naylor, but I don't know if he needs to be. Like, we moved him into our top 12, number 12, our top 30 for the Royals. And the blurb said he could be a 20 home run hitter with high on base percentages and can be an everyday catcher. So he looks like he's going to be a major leaguer, and he looks like he's going to be productive. So I don't even know if he needs stolen bases. So for me, that's just like icing on the cake. Like, if he can be JT Realmuto and then JT Realmuto with the steals, like, it's just an extra bonus. Not that he's JT Realmuto, but the way he Realmuto with his 20 stolen bases, where it was excellent for fantasy. So I would bid on him. The problem is I have catchers everywhere already, so I didn't bid on the leagues I have. I have like Dalton Rushing and Jefferson Guerrero and Moises Ballesteros. So like, I didn't bid on them because it's too much. But I would. I don't have him a top 100 prospect, but I'm not ashamed to say he's in like the 250, 300 range. Like, I think he's a solid everyday catcher. And even though he's a catcher, I think he's still useful on bidding.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't push back at all on like 250 ish range. And if he does turn into a 20 homer, high OBP catcher, I'm sure there will be some stolen bases that go with it, just based on the fact that he does look to run, you know, even excluding this year, he looks to run more than your typical catcher. So, yeah, very interesting, very impressive performance for a 20-year-old catcher at high A. So, Carter Jensen, if you don't hoard catchers like Dylan, maybe go grab him in your shallow leagues. Okay, let's look at the high A pitchers here. A lot of fun pop-up breakout arms in here. You got Jaden Hamm of the Tigers, Zebby Matthews of the Twins, Winston Santos of the Rangers, Brett Wichrowski of the Brewers, Patrick Riley of the Pirates, Andre Lara, who I'm really intrigued by, kind of a post-hype breakout this year with the Nationals, just missed the cut. Do you have a favorite kind of pop-up breakout arm here at high A that people weren't really on coming into the year?
I think Lara is the lowest of the crew. He throws 94, touches 96, which is good. 21-year-old. But the IVB and the VAA, like, it's not a modern kind of pitch design. And the Nats aren't really, well, they haven't been like that big on that kind of pitching development. Like, they're not targeting those guys like the Orioles are or the Brewers.
I did think it was notable that Lara and Susana, Harleen Susana, are both kind of taking a step forward in the same year. But I definitely hear you on the fastball characteristics with Lara.
Yeah. His slider is pretty good too. It's 86, 86, 87. But, you know, I'm a sucker for the modern pitch design. So I'm a bit lower on him. I'm not that confident that he'll do well. Zebby Matthews is fascinating too. His walk rate. I mean, I don't think he walked someone. Yeah. He hasn't walked someone this year. He just got promoted to Double A. Maybe he did if he started in Double A. I'm not sure. He's 24 though, so of course he should be carving up high A. His ball percent is like 30%, so the control is real. The stuff's actually pretty good too. He was 94 with an IVB of 18. This year he's 95 with an IVB of 19, so it's kind of improved or increased. And now he's in Double A. So he also had a cutter last year that was 87 miles an hour that was extremely effective. He threw it 15% of the time, and it's now 91 miles an hour. So it's a big jump there. And so I kind of looked again at like comps in the majors of guys who are throwing like 96 with like a cutter around 90 with, you know, pretty good control. Like Nathan Eovaldi kind of was a comp, and I'm like, I kind of like that. So it's like he's not an ace. He's not front of the rotation, but he'll have good whip and pretty good ERAs and not that many strikeouts. So like, I kind of like that. So, you know, maybe a boring pick, Zebby Matthews, but so then the three main guys, Jaden Hamm, Winston Santos, Brett Wichrowski. When you look at the strikeout and walks of Santos, who kind of has the most walks, he's kind of that type, that DL Hall type. So it's like AJ Puck, Ben Brown. So a lot of strikeouts, but a lot of walks. So I kind of parked him for now. He's probably the lowest of those three. And so it's between Hamm and Wichrowski. So Hamm has the highest IVB basically of any pitcher in high A. It's 21 inches. He throws from over the top, which is very interesting too. So it's not that flat, but to get 21 IVB, like that's near the top of the majors as well. Like that's like Pavetta, Jason Adam, Jordan Romano. He only throws 93 too. To get 21 IVB on 93 is like you're really getting good lift on that. His slider's pretty good too. It's also like Jason Adam. So I guess he can make it as a reliever based on just the fastball and the slider if it doesn't pan out as a starter. So like he's got the ingredients to like be at the top of the rotation if he can put it all together. But he also, there's a low floor there. Whereas Wichrowski, I think, he passes the eye test on the stuff. He's 95, 97. He's touched 101. His slider was his best pitch in college, and now it's like a plus pitch. It's at 85, 88. He's got a cutter. He's got a changeup he throws occasionally. His command seems to have taken a huge step forward. It was like average in college. Now it's like he has a 3.8% walk rate. We have him with like as a mid-rotation or better. So he seems like the safer pick. So I kind of, it's kind of pick your poison there. It's like, do you want the, like, so Jaden Hamm, I looked at his strikeout minus walks at 22 years old, high A, blah, blah, blah. And so there's guys like Nate Pearson, Kyle Harrison, Grayson Rodriguez, Paddock, Kate Cavalli, Daniel Espino. So like the who's who of like pop-up guys who did really well on industry lists. So there's a high chance that the perceived value of Jaden Hamm is going to be higher than Wojcicki. But like I said, he has like a, he's got a longer way to go, I feel, in development. Wojcicki, I think, got promoted to double A too, right? Mm-hmm. And Hamm's still in high A, I believe. So I think Hamm's got the wider range of outcomes, but maybe a higher ceiling. And Wojcicki's kind of like a safe, if you could call it that, mid-rotation starter. So I think it's kind of pick your poison. What do you want between those two? But I think those two are definitely ahead of Santos for me.
It's interesting that the guy with the 93-mile-an-hour fastball might have a higher ceiling to you than the guy that touches 101. But I was going to – Wojcicki would have been my pick. I'm glad I phrased the question that way because I didn't want to kind of lead you into talking about Wojcicki if you liked one of these other guys more. But that's interesting. Yeah, so Hamm, Wojcicki. You know, I was kind of thinking like borderline top 100 range for both of those guys. Is that seem about right to you, or would you push them higher than that, or maybe even pull back a bit more?
I 100 to 125, I think, for me. Yeah. I mean, they're still pretty young. There's a lot of good pitchers too. In when I'm making my list too, Jeff and I are kind of working on our update. It's so many names, so many new names too. It's very
different. So many pop. I mean, it's like there's more pop-up. I feel like there's more pop-up prospects this time this year than in a normal year. You would know more than me.
So I'm glad you said that because that's how I felt. And I wasn't sure if it's because I'm newer at this.
I think there's got to be some, like, I almost feel like, prospects maybe are doing more than ever, like in the off season or something. Like, just seems like so many guys just got so much better in between last year and this year. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun update. lots of fresh faces.
Fun in quotes.
This is gonna be, you know, one of my favorite updates to do all year. I love kind of the influx of fresh faces and getting to remove the graduated guys and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm really excited about this one. Now got a bonus question for you here, because there were two Rockies pitchers, Chase Dolander and Sean Sullivan, who showed up in the top six among the high A guys. And I know Carson Palmquist was fifth among the double A guys. And it's certainly, there are more good Rockies pitching prospects than I can ever recall. And, you know, I think that's nice for them to be able to say they've got, you know, a few high quality pitching prospects on the farm for once. But my question for you is, have you added any Rockies pitching prospects this year in your dynasty leagues?
I haven't. Sean Sullivan had like a huge debut, and then like, looked at the data and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. Like, the Rockies thing was already tough enough, but like, he's not really popping on the stuff. He throws only 90, but he throws from like a weird slot and it's like massive extension. But even then I still couldn't just kind of get over it. That's something actually I should point out on the RoboScout. It does not make an adjustment based on what their major league team will be. This is kind of like a league neutral team. Right. So it's like Chase Dolander on the Rockies will do much, much worse than what it's showing there. That's just if all those pitchers were pitching in the same park. So maybe just a clarification. Well,
that's way better. I think I don't think you want to, like, I obviously have to factor that in for like my rankings and you and Jeff will, when you are ordering these guys. But I think for this type, like a formula based type of system, you want to leave it up to the user to kind of make that adjustment, I think.
Okay, good. I actually had this debate. I wouldn't call it a debate with Jordan. I was asking him his opinion, like, should I adjust, like, based on what their major league team is? Like, how will they do in the majors? And he said, I highly recommend against it. So I'm glad that, you know, two people I highly respect say that. So I'll keep it the way it is. Yeah, I haven't bought any Rockies. I did on a recent podcast with Jeff and I was like, who are you targeting? And I was kind of being cheeky saying I'm going to be outside the box and say Rockies pitchers because there's been such a stigma against them, as there should be. But now they have kind of good guys in the system, and maybe they trade them, you'll get something there. And then also maybe they've got a change in philosophy and they're targeting, you know, like run prevention. So I haven't followed through on that. I'm not walking the walk, but they're definitely popping in the minor league. So
would you, how about this? Would you, if Chase Dolander was just available in like one of your deeper dynasty leagues, I assume he's not. But like, if he was out there, would you add Chase Dolander, or is even as good as he's pitching, is it just too much to ask for him to return value given the organization?
I would not be against it. Yeah. It would obviously depends on the context, but like I would roster him for sure. Like, he's a top 150 prospect, I think, even though he's on the Rockies, just because of the, you know, he could be traded or he could, you know, overcome. He could be Herman Marquez, and John Gray was even productive. He may not be an ace in the Rockies, but, you know, he'll be productive major leaguer. So I would have him for sure. But like these other guys, do you say really?
Well, no, I was going to say, I never factor in the he could be traded part with the Rockies pitching prospects because they just don't trade pitching prospects, like because they just never have good pitchers. So I would never want to assume that they might trade Chase Dolander. Like that would, yeah. I would just be mind blown if they traded him. I don't know about you. Like there's no track record of them trading like any of their pitching prospects really.
Yeah, it's not under the assumption that they trade him. It's just like that's the gravy. Like there's always that possible upside that he could be traded. But even still, like you said, he is performing. He has an over 40% strikeout rate. Yeah. Like he'll be a useful major leaguer for the Rockies. It's just he may not be you know, someone you want on your fantasy team as your, you know, number one, two, or three.
And there will be another season probably. Ubaldo Jimenez, Herman Marquez. Like there's going to be somebody else who has one of those years at some point. So could be Dolander. All right, let's head to the top hitters at single A. Number one, Lazaro Montes. Seems to check out to me. You know, he's awesome. But number two and number three, Jarrell Perez with the Dodgers and Jason Chourio with the Guardians. Talked a little bit about Chourio last week, but I think like I can definitely talk myself into putting Chourio kind of borderline top 50. We'll see, but I definitely think I'll have Chourio top 100 at least. Perez is tougher to peg. I definitely buy the power. But it also just seems like the Dodgers just always have like a handful of interesting, you know, second base, left field type guys in the lower levels who are just putting up monster numbers. And then like by the time they get to AAA, it's just like the shine kind of comes off. There's nowhere for them to play, that type of thing. So, you know, how do you feel about like Montes, like Chourio, and then specifically Perez in terms of how you're valuing them?
Yeah, so Montes, obviously great. Clear number one. Chourio, good center fielder, plus runner, hit over power, but, you know, he's got two home runs, 19. So, you know, he could be 15 homers, 20 stolen bases, 25 stolen bases, which is pretty good with good on-base percentage, good batting average. The one thing that I'm a bit tentative on is his ground ball rate's pretty high.
Yeah.
51%. His barrel rate's not that great either. He's got pretty solid exit velocities, just like he's got like the Vlad situation where they're all on the ground. So I have him like 75 to 100 area. So I think he's a top 100 prospect.
Sure.
A lot of it is the, you know, the good center field defense carrying that a long way. Jarrell Perez, everything you said, I totally agree. His Statcast is just so good for me. It's 82% contact, which is well above average. 104 90th percentile exit velocity, which is well above average. His barrel rate's like 24%. Average is like 12%. He doesn't chase either. He's like 22% chase rate. And he was the same last year, like pretty close. He had above average, better than average for all those traits. I actually had him as like my last prospect going into the FYPD last year. We have 450 prospects. And then when I had to do the cuts, like I cut like Adrian Santana, but I kept Harold Perez just because I had a feeling. I just really like the Statcast. Just to put that in context, last year, 80% contact, 103 mile per hour exit velocity, like he's at 104, and then an 18% barrel rate, and he's at 24%. Last year was Wyatt Langford, Jackson Merrill, Jesus Baez, and Josue Briseño, all kind of popping. Like Jesus Baez, we're getting some really strong reports on him for the Mets, shortstop for the Mets. That was last year. The year before, Jonathan Aranda met that criteria. I think he was the only one. This year, it's Kyle Manzardo, Harold Perez, Jefferson Rojas meets those thresholds. Jared Cerna meets those. Alex Freeland, who I wrote about, he's a Dodgers shortstop. So another guy who's popping on the stack ass, and I'm going to probably fall for it. And then Isaac Collins, who's another one I wrote about. He's like 26 for the Brewers in AAA, and he's just like, he's really just mashing. So I guess what I'm saying is he's in elite company, in select company with the Statcast. He has four home runs in 111 plate appearances. He's 19, he's stealing some bases, not missing. He's elevating it. He's one of the four players that in my peak projections has a WRC plus above 100 with Montes Chirio, and then Christopher Torin actually on the Diamondbacks also sure. shows well. So I don't know. I'm buying in, but I don't think he's a top 100 prospect yet. I'm not convinced. I'm not even sure what position he's going to play. He's playing a lot of second base. He probably could play third. His arm's okay. But, you know, like you said, with the Dodgers, they're moving them around like Miguel Vargas and who knows where all these guys are going to play. So that's kind of holding me back. But I really like the bat. So I have them probably top 200, maybe creeping towards the 100, probably closer to 100 than 200, to be honest, just because he's one of my cheese balls. Yeah, I think Chirio's ahead of him, but I am buying into Harold Perez.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a lot worse than taking a flyer on Perez and just sort of seeing how it pans out. I think I told someone a week or two ago that I would take him over Roderick Arias of the Yankees just because they're basically the exact same age and Perez is just doing like everything except for running and Arias is striking out a ton. But yeah, I think, yeah, maybe like 125 or something is a good spot for him. But I definitely think he's one of the most exciting sort of pop-up position players this year in terms of going from where he was before the season to where he is now.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's head to the single A pitchers here. And now there's gotta be a pretty high bar to clear if you're going to be running out to add a breakout pitcher at single A, right? Because there's a long ways to go from there to big league production. The top four guys among these single A pitchers all have a RoboCast score over 90. They were all basically unrostered entering the year, maybe in just crazy deep leagues. Some of these guys were rostered, but Jonah Tong of the Mets, Quinn Matthews of the Cardinals, George Klaassen of the Phillies, and Matt Wilkinson of the Guardians. It seems like Klaassen is kind of the most obvious spec add and just kind of see where it goes just based on how good the stuff is. But where are you at on the other three? And you could disagree with me about Klaassen too if you want, but where are you at on, you know, Tong, Matthews and Wilkinson. Like, are you really buying into what these guys are doing to the point where you'd rush out to add them right now if they're available in your league?
So I don't disagree with you on Claassen versus Tong. I took Claassen a couple weeks earlier, and then Tong I just picked up. So I guess I thought Claassen was better, but I kind of leaning towards Tong over Claassen now.
Okay.
Ellie Ben Porat writes for us every Monday, does like a StatCast standout article. Really smart guy, worked for a team. Canadian, lives in Toronto. He considers Tong, who's also Canadian, also in the greater Toronto area, a top four prospect and top four pitching prospect. And I don't think he's that far off. His fastball is 93. His fastball is basically Jaden Hamm's, 93 with a huge IVB. He's touched 97. He kind of throws over the top as well. It's not from a low release. So it's not going to be elite, but it's going to be, you know, above average to plus. He's got a good cutter that he had 50% whiff on last year as well. And the movement profile was very similar to Dean Kramer, who throws, that's his like second most thrown pitch, Dean Kramer. So like, he's got two pitches that are like major league quality. Like I said, with the Ham, when I was talking about Ham, like that fastball is like Nick Pivetta, Jason Adam, like it's an effective fastball. He's now in high A. At low A, he had a 53% strikeout rate, which is just absurd. 22% swinging strike rate. Last year, Cade Horton, who's, you know, a lot of people really love Cade Horton as like a top five, top 10 pitching prospect. He had a 21% swinging strike rate, and he only had a 38% strikeout rate, and very similar innings thrown. So Tong is exceeding Cade Horton there. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to like there. So I'm just on a flyer basis, I have Tong probably ahead of Claassen. Quinn Matthews, he's pretty good too. He's a changeup guy. He's 23, carving up low A, so you got to take that with a grain of salt, of course. But his fastball is 93, 96. It's got pretty good specs. Like, I like the design of it better than Mason Adams or Andrew Lara. Another callback. But he's 23, so let's see how he does, you know, in high A and above. But like, the stuff's pretty good. So I like that. Matt Wilkinson, he's kind of been the story of the minors this year. Tugboat Wilkinson. He might be Canadian too, actually. From Western Canada, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. 50% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate. Last time someone of his athleticism performed like that was like Roiber Salinas, who was another RoboScout darling. He only throws 89-90. It's just that he throws it at a lower release point. His extension's pretty good. I just think it's like a weird look for low A hitters. Mm-hmm. So I'm a bit skeptical. He's throwing 67% fastballs too, like of that 89 mile an hour fastball. I don't know if it's going to play in the upper levels or the majors, but it's a great story. So I think Wilkinson's the guy I'm the least confident in. He may be, you know, at the back end of a 300 for me, but he's not knocking on top 100 at all. Tong probably the best of that. Claassen second, Matthews third, and they're all good. Like I don't like pitching prospects. I rarely roster them, but I've got Tong, I've got Claassen, I've got Ham, I've got Wachrowski, I've got Logan Evans. Like this is not what I normally do. So I think it's a testament to the pitching breakouts this year. Just fantastic.
Yeah. So Tugboat Wilkinson is from Vancouver. So good call there. And then is 93 with elite IVB, is that like the new 98, 99? Like, is that sort of an area you're kind of into right now, or is that just these specific guys?
They're 21, right? So they're gonna add velocity. Just natural development. They're going to be, you know, 90, 95, 96. Tong has touched 97. So he's got it in the tank right now. Like you're talking about with the development in the off season, like Logan Evans added like 3 miles an hour in like the 3 months since he was drafted. Like people can add velocity significantly. Pivetta, whose fastball is quite like Tong's and Ham's, he added a couple miles per hour drive line the last couple of years. And these guys are younger, so there's kind of more room, more cushion for them to build. So I think, like this is, this could play in the majors now. And I just think that it's going to be even better as they develop over the next 2 years. Like they will be 96 with a high IVB. I mean, the question is whether major league hitters are now going to be training for that. And like, that's not the kind of design of a fastball you want anymore, because everyone's swinging right over the fastball and catching up, and you want like the sinkers now. So who knows? That's the fascinating part about Major League Baseball. Everyone makes adjustments to everyone making adjustments.
Well, I do kind of like that. I like the, cause I'm always terrified of the 18, 19 year olds that are throwing 98, 99. And yeah, it's a good point. Like Jeff's written about this, just about how like every college junior, basically not every college junior, but most of them add velocity after they get drafted. So yeah, I think that's a solid, thesis there, and, very interesting stuff on Tong and Ham and, all these guys. Yeah, I think it's good stuff, man. why don't you kind of let people that might've just tuned in, like sort of halfway through or something like that, know, where they can, find your work and, get access to all the great stuff you're doing with RoboScout.
Yeah, I'm on the fantasy team at Baseball America with Jeff Ponce. We have a weekly podcast on the Baseball America channel. You can find it wherever people get podcasts these days. RoboScout is one of the tools we have on Baseball America. We have StatCast as part of that, which isn't really publicly available. We have a dynasty ranking. We're just updating our fantasy list to come out in the next week or two. And that's just the fantasy side. Of course, Baseball America is famous for their draft coverage and their other prospect stuff and just baseball stuff in general. Top of the industry, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I'm on Twitter as well at @TheArrival, 2 underscores in between the and arrival. Don't ask. And yeah, I'm currently languishing in near the bottom of my NFBC leagues. So don't follow me for redraft advice.
Yeah, it's been a tough start to the year, man. I just gotta keep pushing. Are you, has it been like so bad that you're forlorn, or are you, you think you're gonna make a push?
So I've got 4 teams. 2 of them are terrible, and then 2 of them, or 2 of them I have little hope for, let me put it that way. And then 2 of them are actually pretty good. So the one with Rob, that's the only main I'm doing with Rob, is actually one of the, we lost Strider, just lost Wilson Contreras, Trout, who was doing well. We've lost him. We are charter members of the Parker Meadows and Henry Davis experience. So it hasn't been good.
Yeah.
We're like currently 12th or something like that. And, you know, my projections don't see much more optimism there. The other, I'm on a super with Jordan Rosenblum. So that's not part of the overall. It's just like a insular 15 team league. You know, I thought of being smart by saying, oh yeah, the return on investment is way higher. Like no one's thought of this, but of course everyone in the supers are extremely sharp. Yeah. So we're currently 5th, but I really like the team. I have us projected to be, you know, top 1 or 2. We got some good players. So that one's fun. Then I'm a DC, 2 DCs with Slack, friend of the pod, Brian Slack. One of them is not doing well. It's just, we felt the best about that one out of the draft, and then it's just been horrible. But the other one's first place right now, like 250th overall. Nice. Like that team. It's pretty solid. Got Jason Dominguez waiting in the wings. Anthony Rendon just poised to come back and take us to the promised land. But yeah, so I'm still invested. I'm still paying attention. I'm still engaged. But you know, that main event with Rob, like we were extremely excited coming out of the draft. We really liked it. We wanted to work together. It was going to be great. And then it's just been like nonstop bad news after bad news. So,
yeah, man, I hear you. I definitely don't think I'm going to be in the Champions League. I think a lot of my DCs I did very early in the off season are pretty much all top five. And then I did a few DCs kind of in the February range, and most of those suck. And my CLQ DC is in 10th place, but it feels like it should be in 15th place. I don't know how that team's plugging along, and but got a shot in 3 out of 4 main events. So we'll just hope to win one of the mains and maybe cash in another, and that'll still be a solid season. So, but good luck to you, and good luck to your esteemed co-managers.
Thank you. I mean, it's still early. Like when we won, Brian and I won last year, we were in my famous tweet I always link to. We were 480th overall on May 21st. So, and then we ended up winning. So, you know, a couple weeks and then you're at May 21st. So, you know, no one's out of it yet.
I don't think I told you this, but I, on the one solo main event team where it's actually my worst main event team, I went 330 on Christian Scott there and got him. Won that by like 15 fab dollars. Did not tweet the awesome bidding there. didn't want to tempt any fancy baseball gods, but definitely hoping that it's Christian Scott season here for a few months at least. Very good stuff, Dylan. Thank you so much. And to anyone who's listening, you want to check out Prize Picks. That's our sponsor. Use the promo code ROTOPOD for 100% deposit match. And I'll be back with another episode next week.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.